This is a True Foundations podcast. Real time, real life, real answers.
Today I'm going to read a couple of verses from Isaiah 66. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house could you possibly build for me? And what place could be my home? My hand made all these things, and so they all came into being. This is the Lord's declaration. I will look favorably on this kind of person, one who is humble, submissive in spirit, and who trembles at my word. Of course, God had a lot more to say than just that, but that's where I want us to focus today. We've thought about this issue of entering the kingdom. We've looked in particular at Isaiah when he was in the presence of God. He had that remarkable encounter, and God called out, who's going to go? Who's going to declare my purposes? Who's going to do that? Isaiah said, I'll do it. And in the process of that, there was that coal of fire that came and touched his lips. Now, it was visionary, but it was a deep, deep reality. And he felt the cleansing of God upon him. And that sets the scene for how we can go and effectively declare the kingdom, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It sets the scene for that. We talked about the purposes of God in terms of addressing the issue of broken walls and restoring things the way God would have them to be. Streets with dwellings. A wonderful call upon God's true and faithful people. We looked at that. We looked at quite a number of different things. But here is what we need to come to. First of all, the recognition that God is the sovereign Lord, because that's what this is saying. And his sovereignty reaches out from where he is, that heavenly place, the very center of his being and his power, the outworking of his purposes. It comes from that place, the place of sovereignty, and it comes down to his rule here on earth. And God rules through his people. He does not rule through politics. He does not rule through religious thinking. He rules through his faithful people. It's the kingdom of God. The rule of Christ without compromise. That's what the kingdom of God is really all about. And so he states his case. He's all powerful. He has the times of this world within his hand. He will not be pushed to one side by the wickedness of those who will not follow him closely. But there is something here that is a shift. Because what had been happening over the years, and this was common to the prophets as they spoke to the people of Israel, is they identified where the people had gone astray. And they were bringing the people to account. That's proper, isn't it? And essentially, above everything else, they had gone astray in this particular way. There were many religious people in Israel. They were people of influence and power and place. And they were wicked oppressors. That's really where they'd gone astray. Of course, they'd adopted much paganistic thinking and all of that. But essentially, this is the big issue, if you like. Religious. They suited their belief system to say that my lifestyle is the right one. Nothing new about it. You can see it in the Pharisees. He's still around today in different forms. And God was addressing that issue along the way. And in addressing that issue, he was talking about exile. Well, the prophets talked about exile. And so that was the judgment of God upon those people. This is the way that it is often, is that there is wickedness, there is self-seeking, and the judgment of God comes upon that. And yet, there is another way, and the other way is faithfulness. And he explains how that looks, and we'll look at that in a moment. The problem is this, or it looks like a problem, is that on the one hand, the justice of God, his judgment falls upon the wickedness of the self-righteous, and they go into exile. And yet at the same time, there were good people that went into exile. So we have to understand what is really taking place. And we have to be wise and recognize the times, maybe where we're at. We look at that and we see the hand of God. He's the sovereign Lord. There is a time of mercy, and then there's a time of judgment. It's not all finished. There's more to come. But in the time of judgment, they're going into exile. It seems as if everyone is affected. Well, the principle is this. Circumstances do not dictate what God is actually doing. You have to discern it. And you discern it on the basis of where people stand before God. So for these self-righteous ones, these oppressors, they oppress the poor, the ordinary people. It's the judgment of God upon them. The hope is that they get shaken and they think, it's down to me. I need to repent of this. I need to turn from my ways and come back to the Lord. That's the hope. But for those others who are faithful, they must understand what is happening as well. And their focus is this, that in that place of, in this case, it's the exile, they are not being punished, they are being tested. Now that theme is throughout the whole of the Word of God. We see it in the Revelation especially. So they are tested, their faithfulness is proven, and the favour of God is upon them. It just doesn't look like it. So we have to be discerning of the day that we are in, the times, what is taking place. And one of the things we have to be, we've got to be realistic about. Increasingly, in the Western world, is the church is diminishing. Doesn't seem to be a lot of comfort in that. But we apply the same thing. In some cases, maybe in many cases, it's the judgment of God upon a wayward church. But not everybody's wayward. Some are faithful. And so the same thing looks consistent across the board. But for many, it's the judgment of God. For the few, and this is what we call the righteous remnant, that theme is throughout the whole of the Word of God. But for the few, it's a testing so that they can be proven to be faithful. And so that in spite of what it seems, God is with them and they become stronger. And so all of that dynamic takes place. And so we must have eyes to see. But in the midst of that, we see that God is not yet finished. Because the exile was for a season. It was a long season, but nevertheless, the day was to come when there would be a return. Not everybody returned, actually, historically. But the day would come when the work of the exile was finished, and there would be a return. Now, those who were faithful returned, strengthened, encouraged. What were they to do? Resettle the land. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, rebuild the temple. That was part of what God had for them to do. But there's something interesting here. Because as Isaiah speaks the word of God to these people, the man that had been in the presence of God and had been touched by God, he saw God for who he was. And he declared him. And then he said, this is what God has. He's talking about God's house. Well, it's not quite the same as a temple, is it? And that's deliberate. Because we know as we move into the New Testament that Jesus himself talks about the sanctuary, which is a word from the center of the Old Testament temple, the dwelling place of God. And how Jesus talked about it's not in this place or that place. God is beginning to show these people that it is not about the organization, it is not about the bricks and the mortar. It is actually, where does God dwell? And it's in the hearts of his faithful people. And we must be reminded of that. We are called to build the house of the Lord. I can remember a long, long time ago, I was just a young guy. And in the church, the pastor was all about the house of God. And for some reason, he equated it with a building. I thought, what are you doing that for? I had a chat with him about it. Didn't go down very well, of course. But nevertheless. And it was so clear to me that it is not about the structure of the building. It is not about the name above the building. It is not about the official organization of what those local people are called. It is absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with that. It's where God decides to settle. And he settles in the very depths of the being of those who are faithful. That is what we're called to build. It's hard to put form to that. Because we so often look to the outward. That's the way we think. But we mustn't do that. We must embrace the call. As Isaiah has said earlier, arise. We must embrace the call. What house could we possibly build for God? Well, actually, it's foolish to think you can build something like this for God. It's foolish to think you can label as some kind of organization for God. We've got to find a new and the better way. We must be his house. And the word house actually contains the idea of family. That's what it contains. It's that kind of idea. What place could be my home? See, now that is getting to be a very personal question, isn't it? You see, God is appealing not to the external. He is appealing to the very depths of whom we really are. And sometimes it's a lot easier to build the external. It looks as if you're accomplishing something. It looks good to the outside. But the reality of it might be it is absolutely worthless. It is a distraction. It is nothing. And the call is to build a house suitable for God to dwell in. So that's the question we must ask ourselves individually. Corporately, are we a dwelling suitable for God to show his presence and power amongst us? Now, when we went to England, we went to a place called Lindisfarne, which you may or may not have heard of. It's actually very famous in history. It's in an area called Northumberland, which is a large, it's like a county area in England. It's northeast, just south of Scotland. And Christianity had been introduced, but it kind of faltered. And in the year 635, that's kind of a long time ago, isn't it? There was a Christian king, and he invited a man called Aidan. And there's not a lot of facts that we know about him, but we know certain things. He was a monk. Now, it's very, very difficult to get your mind into the way things were in that day. You can't do it. But we went to the place where Aidan came. He came from Ireland, where he first came into England and began to preach the gospel. And from that place, Christianity took hold. I went into this place. It's called Lindisfarne. It's sometimes called the Holy Island. I could, because of its history. I went to this place. Somehow, I was moved. Because this man, he knew what it meant to declare the gospel. Now, you go and declare the gospel in those days amongst a bunch of Anglo-Saxons who were pagans, kind of dangerous, but he didn't bother. There'd been paintings, drawings of this man, what he looked like. There's the odd sculpture of what this man looked like. Boy, he looked tough. This guy was no messing. He was strong, but he was kind. He was known for it. He walked a breadth of that vast area on foot, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he became known as the Apostle of Northumberland. He had no modern techniques. He had what was in his heart. I don't know his full belief system because it's not recorded, but I get a sense of the simplicity and the authentic desire to tell people, and he would go and he would stop and he would speak to people and they would come to Christ. The simplicity of it, the authenticity of it, the power of it. And this man who was fearless, the strength of what he had in Christ, and off he went, and things changed. He had no other reference points than the truth. He believed the truth and he lived it. That's all he had. He didn't have any technology. He didn't even have a horse. Well, he did, but he saw somebody needed it more than he did, so he gave it away. But he had a real thing. And because he had a real thing, the gospel spread. And that part of the country was changed. And his legacy remains to this day. Now, of course, the way things go, is people want to make it something. They call him St. Aidan now, you know. Like they call St. Paul. These guys would have none of that. You know, it's kind of religious talk. If we are in Christ, that's what we are. We belong to him, that's all the saint means. But he was a good man, and he declared the gospel. This is what we need to know about ourselves. And we need to know where we stand regarding God's view of who we are. We need to ask the question, do we have the favour of God? Well, actually, biblically, the only way we can make that judgment is similar to the way that Isaiah speaks here, the way it's restated in many different ways throughout the whole of the New Testament, the things that we learned from the seven churches in the Revelation. This is how we know whether we have God's favour or not, not by external things. This is the Lord's declaration. I will look favourably on this kind of person. And we've got to be really honest. We dare not fool ourselves. One who is humble, submissive in spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's how we know. Humble in spirit, submissive in spirit. In other words, not self-seeking. Absolutely grounded and committed to the truth. Not some kind of a religious belief system that God was saying, look, this is not acceptable. This is leading you into exile. There's no room for self-righteousness. There's no room for some kind of belief system that tells you you're okay because of, well, you know, I believe the right thing. Well, you know, and there's a whole list. You know what it's like. God's favour is upon people like this. They're humble and they're submissive. They are not about their own agenda. They're not about self-exaltation. They are totally committed to Christ and his people. And the outworking of that is in faithfulness, at the outworking of that, we could say the fruits of the Spirit are seen. Paul expounds that more in a different way. That is what God is looking for. He's looking at who you are. Are you committed totally to the truth? Are you living according to the truth? We could call that righteousness. That's the way of it. There are no other ways that we can say God is showing his favour. It doesn't matter what it is. No other ways. These are the ways. And however that looks to the outside is irrelevant. However comfortable or uncomfortable it feels, that is irrelevant. This is where the favour of God is seen. We need to be like an Isaiah, who when he heard the call of God, he said, "Look, send me." We need to be people who, having said in response, "Send me," willing for God to come to them and change them deeply, radically, even if for that moment it's painful. And we need to be people who will stand strong with integrity, completely submitted to God and his ways, not trying to vindicate our own cause through some kind of belief system. But we have to know what the truth is, of course. That's why we need to be submissive in spirit. That's why we need to learn to be able to trust our response. Jeremiah talks about the deceitfulness of the heart. Well, here's the issue, is that outside of Christ it is. But in Christ, if we come this way, God intends us to be able to rely upon it because we changed. But if you've not been changed, you can't measure it. If we're not willing to go and say, "Send me," not some system, "No, we'll get such and such a body, they can go and do this." If we are not ready to say, "Lord, send me," if we are not ready to say, "Lord, touch my lips, cleanse me, change me, renew me, fill me with your spirit," if we are not ready to respond in that way, is then it just might go the way of judgment. But if you are, God delights in that. I'll look favourably on this kind of person. And whatever the external says, to live in the peace and the contentment of God, knowing his favour is with you. There is nothing better in this life. That's what he desires. But there's always two ways. We must choose. Let us choose well.
Thank you for joining us. True Foundations is headed by David J. Jones, a preacher and teacher of the Word of God. His passion is to help individual Christians discover their true identity in Christ and to learn how grace operates in their lives. Currently residing in Canada, he is taught in both North America and the UK and has listeners all over the world. If you have questions about anything you've heard today, please email us at info@truefoundations.ca. Or for more information on True Foundations resources, please visit our website at truefoundations.ca.